Hello everybody. If you've had a chance to read or listen to or even view the video of the sermons from the last couple of weeks, you should now be familiar with the verses which are the focus of our current series. But as a recap, let's read it together again, this passage of scripture, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. It's titled, The Greatest Commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Now, you might have an idea of where we're going today. On the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, we looked at loving God with all of our heart. Last week, we looked at loving God with all of our soul. So today, it shouldn't be any great surprise that our specific focus is going to be about how we love the Lord with all our mind. This brings us back to an issue I briefly spoke about in the first sermon. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Now, you may have noticed there's actually a difference here. Deuteronomy calls us to love with heart, soul, and strength. But in Mark, Jesus himself calls us to love with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why the difference? Well, Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, which is in Hebrew. And Mark is written in Greek. Two different languages. And you know how that goes sometimes, just as, for instance, Greek has three words, at least, for love, and we just have one. Different words can have different meanings in different languages. Often a word in one language needs more than just one word to explain it in another. Heart, soul, and strength in Hebrew. Heart, soul, mind, and strength in Greek. Jesus is using the extra word to somehow convey the fullest meaning of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And which word is it that's being further expanded? Well, it's the Hebrew word leb, which means heart. Now, you may remember that we talked about loving God with all our heart. And when we did, we said that the heart is at the vital center of who we are. We saw that it's the heart which drives us, it's the heart which gives us our focus, it's the heart which gives us our identity. We also said it's the heart that determines our worldview and governs our character. Indeed, the heart is the essence of who we are. That's why this command to love God with all our heart is very first on this list. That's what we learnt in the first lesson of this series, isn't it? But there's also more to it than this. The difficulty is that we can hear the word heart and we can start thinking of all sorts of things like, I don't know, about being emotional or about just emotion, about going beyond logic or not even being logical, about being true to our heart. The heart wants what the heart wants. Have you heard that said before? I have. All of these descriptions of the heart, of course, are true, but from a scriptural perspective, the heart is not just an emotion. The heart doesn't just bring forth emotional response or a lack of logic in a situation. And this is where it gets really interesting. You see, the Hebrew word leb, which as we said means heart, could be translated into Greek as cardia or dianoia. And if we look at our text, the teacher of the Lord, the law replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, that's cardia, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, dianoia. And the truth is, of course, that the heart and the mind are intricately connected. This connection has been recognized for a long, long time. Indeed, Thomas Cranmer, you may have heard of him, he was the 16th century Archbishop of Canterbury, and he was a leader of the English Reformation. But he said, what the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. I love this quote because it perfectly describes what we're looking at today. Let's try and put it into plainer words. The heart loves the truth. The will seeks the truth, and the mind justifies the truth. Sounds good. Or, the heart loves being a servant, the will seeks ways to be a servant, and the mind justifies a life of servanthood. Both of these sound pretty good, don't they? But what about putting it like this instead? The heart loves to gossip, the will encourages gossip, and the mind justifies gossip. Or, the heart loves being selfish, the will lives selfishly, and the mind justifies a self-centered life. Ouch. Heart to mind. It's an intricate connection. So if you find yourself in a place that is not loving God with all your heart, then you need to find a way to stop your mind justifying what your heart is doing. This is explained in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. We call this the new covenant. That time when the Lord will take much more direct action in the lives of those who will be called to his kingdom. This is the same covenant that's spoken about in the book of Hebrews, where it describes how God is acting after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Hebrews 8, verse 10 says, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Putting scripture into the mind so that the scripture can be written on the heart. God is putting the scripture into that specific point where the justifying thoughts are carried out in ourselves. By putting scripture here, God is building accountability into the expression of our love for God. And this accountability is crucial. Colossians 1, 21-22 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That process is called reconciliation. And it's this process that causes the mind to ponder on the spiritual implications of what is going on in our lives. We do this by having our mind focused on and thinking about that which challenges our heart to live in accountability. Not accountability to the heart, but accountability to a holy standard set by God himself. In 2 Peter 3, verses 1 to 2, the Apostle Peter tells us the same thing, but like this. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. What this is talking about is training our minds so that they don't just automatically justify what our heart and our will want us to do, but rather our minds weigh what they hear, what the heart says, and what the will wants against this holy standard. And of course, when that begins to happen in our lives, then the direction of life is changed completely. Instead of being an enemy in our mind, we have a completely different mindset. Once more, Peter talks to us, this time in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. From a scriptural perspective, then, the definition of mind would be something close to this. The mind is the spiritual barometer that assesses what the heart loves and the will chooses. So let's apply this to the great commandment. To love the Lord with all our mind means making sure that the mind doesn't simply justify what the heart loves and the will chooses without weighing it up. Instead, we should let our minds make our heart and our will accountable to God's word, to God's standards. When we love God with all our mind, we learn to refuse to allow our heart to just follow its emotions. We refuse to just follow our heart and just let the heart want what the heart wants. We don't allow our heart to throw away all logic and follow emotionality, if there's such a word, on its own. That quote from Thomas Cranmer is correct. What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. But it is only correct to the extent that we are not loving the Lord with all our minds. Because if we are, then the mind is the checks and balances to what our hearts desire. When we love the Lord with all our minds, the process changes, and the quote rather becomes, what the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind assesses. The heart loves the truth. The will seeks the truth. The mind doesn't just justify, the mind assesses. Assesses against Scripture. As it reminds us in Ephesians 6:14, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, we hear, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When the heart seeks the truth, and the will lives the truth, then the mind assesses and confirms that I am loving God with all that I am. The heart loves to gossip. The will encourages gossip. The mind doesn't only have to justify, the mind assesses. Assesses against Scripture. And Proverbs 16:28 tells us, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, Paul says, I'm afraid that when I come to you, I may not find you as I want you to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. When the heart loves gossip, and the will encourages gossip, the mind assesses and lets us know that I am not loving God with all I am. And this is when we have a choice. When the heart and the will are wanting to lead us in one way and the mind says, this is not the ancient way, we must decide which way we are going to go. Do we hold our hearts and our will accountable to the Word of God? Do we accept our wrongdoing and repent? Or do we let our heart and will rule, even though we know that doing so is not loving God with all we are, and our mind is only justifying the heart and the will? But hey, gossip is just words. Gossip doesn't hurt anyone. Everyone gossips. Do you recognize these sort of words? This is the mind justifying the heart and the will. This is the spiritual barometer just becoming more and more like the world. And it's not just about gossip. It's about so many things that we do. But as ever, it's a choice. We don't have to give in and justify with our mind. Indeed, it can be eternally dangerous to do so. Paul, when speaking about unconverted Gentiles, says in Ephesians 4:18, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And you know, when we keep choosing to ignore the mind, when the spiritual barometer that God has given us is not allowed to keep us accountable, then we don't love God with all our mind. And this can lead us to a place where our heart becomes hardened. And a hardened heart is one that does not listen to God. And that is a place we just don't want to be. So, here now is a question for today that has eternal consequences. Am I allowing my mind to be the spiritual barometer that keeps me accountable to the Word of God? Or am I just justifying all the loves of my heart and the choices of my will, even when these loves and choices go against God's Word? Where are we, friends? It's a battlefield. But God wants us to join the battle. He wants us to use our minds as a barometer to weigh and check the motive of the heart and the decision of the will before justifying. This is how we love the Lord God with all our mind. This morning, today, right now, if this is our decision, let's make a stand. And let's commit to loving the Lord with all our mind in prayer. Right now. Father God, as we have heard your word, we have seen and heard that we must love you with all our mind. Father, would you remind us that the mind need not automatically choose to go along with the heart and the will, but should weigh these things and make the right decision. Lord, help us to join this battlefield that we may learn to truly love you with all our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, as we bring our service to a close, shall we share a blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you. Always.